Shall we open our Bibles tonight, please, to the Gospel according to Mark? And we shall commence reading, please, in chapter 6. I trust that you can all hear me. I have never tested a Bahamian audience. I have never tested an American audience. But I have tested a Spanish audience. And after preaching for 2 hours, now, this was not in the city. This was up in the mountains. And people had walked to that particular service for 6 hours to attend. I traveled, passing by 27 rivers and streams to get to the meeting. And one of my converts had been there in this particular section. One had been there before. And looking at those mountains in Cuba, you see, I was there before Fidel Castro got there. And looking at those mountains, I wondered how in all the world can we ever get to the place to which we are addressed. I had been there on another occasion with gospel literature, realizing that the handwriting was upon the wall. And I had some gospel papers and some gospels and placed them into the saddleback or the backs of the saddles of the mules to their backpacks and brought down coffee from the mountains. And I thought, well, I can never get up there, but one time God used an ass to speak to Balaam. And I just put a few gospel papers, a few gospels in the saddlebags. And those mules, they crawled up and those animals walked up those hills, up those mountains. And I received a letter that we would like to hear more. I couldn't go at that time. But a young brother that had been converted, he said to me that he had his holidays, a couple of weeks. I showed him the letter. Well, he said, I have $50. Can I go for that? I said, I don't think so. I didn't have too much, but what I had, I gave him. And he went. And he carried Bibles and he carried hymn books. And I gave him the loan of a Coleman lamp. And off he set. And when he got to this place, he saw a river. And he found the best way to get across it was to take off his shoes and roll up his trousers. And he walked. And he crossed the river. He started to go up the hills. He found another river. Took off his shoes again. And hung them around his shoulders. And walked. And walked until his feet were bleeding. And after walking for many hours, Someone shouted to him from a little home up in the mountains, "The coffee is ready." Now, if you've never tasted Cuban coffee, you're missing a treat. If it resembled the oil you would drain out of the crankcase of your automobile after 70,000 miles, and when you get a drink of that coffee, you can go on the strength of that for 40 days and 40 nights. Perhaps that's the reason why I'm a bit radioactive today, because we've gotten so much of that. And you got to drip a little cup of coffee, and that renewed his strength. And just as he was going out of the door, there was a man said hello to him, and he was on a mule. And he said, "Where are you going?" And he told him. Well, he said, "I'm the man you're looking for. Jump in the back of the mule," and they traveled. And when he got to the end of his destination, he found 70 people that had walked 6 miles to hear the gospel. Well, I didn't have to walk at all. Now, I'm not a great horseman, and I don't think that I'd win any races, even on a flat surface. And it's one thing to ride a horse in the plain, but it's another thing to ride a horse up the mountains. And it was a rainy, rainy day, and I went over the river and held my feet up. Still got them wet, got across, and started to go up the hills. And we came to a place that was very, very narrow. And the horse or the mule was going across, and its foot slipped. And I looked down, 1,500 feet. My dear brother that was on a mule behind me, he took off his hat, he covered his eyes. As he saw me going down the mountainside, he said, "What in all the world will I tell his wife?" But you know, I was very grateful for that mule. Its name was Zeppelin. And going sliding down the mountainside, he got his foot upon a rock. And I'm looking up. And the horse brought me back up to the top of this mountain ledge. I said, "What do you call this place?" And they told me that it was called the Pass That Leads to Hell. It was so narrow. Very, very few people ever got up that way. God bless us. We got up to the top of the mountain. Those dear brethren, they felt, "Well, now we'll have to have a place for an American to preach." And they'd never seen one before. And I take it that they thought I was rather strange that I could speak their language. So they took their axes and they went out into the forest and they cut down mahogany trees. And then with a cross-cut saw, they cut them into planks. And they built a building. They didn't know what to call it. Now, they had no cement up there, so we had just a dirt floor. And that's where I preached for 2 hours. I'd never heard it before. The dear lady had heard the gospel the night before. And she walked home 6 hours. And she brought back her husband the next night 6 hours. And I'm preaching for 2 hours. And I'm about to give out a hymn. They didn't know how to sing. And every verse is a different tune. I tried to lead the singing as best I could. These are people that had never, never, never heard a gospel hymn in their lives. And I was about to give out a hymn, and now I'm very orthodox. I believe that our sisters should keep quiet in the churches. It's not permitted unto them to speak. But this lady that brought her husband, she says, "Don't stop yet. He's not saved yet. keep on speaking until God saves them. I don't know how many were converted that night, quite a lot. But when we left after a couple of weeks, there were over 90 people that professed faith in our Lord Jesus. We taught them the truth of believers' baptism. But before we baptized them, we asked them a few questions relative to their salvation, relative to their lives. And I found out that not one of the men were married to their wives, and they all had 6 and 7 children. No baptism until you're married. Now, I don't know if you preach that or not, but I do. So they brought up a man who picked some papers for them. So one night alone, I don't know how many you can marry here in this chapel, but we married 22 in the one night. So that was quite a wedding service, wasn't it? Now, I've got to watch that clock. Really? Now, we're going to read together, please. In the 6th chapter, the Gospel according to Mark. Now, I could keep you going for a long time, telling you all kinds of stories, but I'm not going to do that. We've been in many, many parts. I was down in Argentina, down in the Antarctic Circle, and we saw people converted there. They took away my passport, one dear brother did. Now, he said, Brother George, he said, when we invite a preacher to Argentina for our conference, usually he comes from the United States, and we'll say, speak by interpretation, but you're not going to do that. And he took my passport, and he said, there, stay a week, and they're back in America again. But they wouldn't let me do that. He kept my passport and wouldn't give me back again. And I was down there, and we had over 80 meetings, 90 meetings, maybe 100 meetings, and people were converted. And we had a great time. Got over it into the forest near Bolivia. That's another story, but we're not going to go into that tonight. So if you want to hear that, you'll have to come back another night. Now we're going to read this evening in the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. And shall we commence reading, please? At verse number 32. Here we got it right here. It was on the wrong page. Verse number 32. They departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were his sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, you see, our Lord had been speaking a long time, and the people, the time was far spent, and he had compassion upon them. There were sheep not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, and that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Now, will you please notice, as we go along, that I want to speak about 5 words. The Apostle Paul said that he would rather speak 5 words with the understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown language or unknown tongue. So the Lord said these 5 words, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Now that's a lot of bread. Do you remember the husbandman that went out to hire laborers for his vineyard? And he agreed with them to work for a penny a day. Now, Brother Aubrey, you would rejoice if you could get employees to work for a penny a day here in the Bahamas. That would be delightful. I mean, you sisters, you could go out and hire a cook for a penny a day. And then you can get another woman to wash the clothes and iron the clothes for a penny a day. And get another to clean your house, and you can sit on your porch and you can just fix your nails and make yourself pretty, and someone would be doing all the work for a penny a day. But you see, with a penny, that would be sufficient for a man to maintain his family. Do you remember also reading in the Gospel according to John, is it chapter 12, where there was a dear sister by the name of Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus. And in the presence of our Lord, she unbroke the sealed alabaster box of ointment and poured it upon her master, her Lord. Now, I'm of the opinion that she had that ointment in chapter 11 when her brother Lazarus died, but she didn't bring it to anoint his body. You see, she was reserving that for the lover of her soul. That was reserved for the Lord Jesus. Judas Iscariot said it might have been sold for how much? 300 pence. And given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor, but he kept the bag, and he knew it was kept therein. And he said it could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. You see, a man would have to work 300 days in order to buy the box of alabaster ointment. Now, said the disciples unto the Lord, 200 pennyworth is not enough, that all might take a little. Master said, give you them to eat. Verse number 38, he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? By words. Give you them to eat. How many loaves have ye? Go see. And when they knew, they said, they say five and two small fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by words, by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves, the two small fishes, looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the two fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the 12 baskets of the fragments that were filled, of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, there is a lot that one could say about chapter 6 of the Gospel according to Mark. You'll find quite a few people there. I'm not going to go into that this evening, but I want to suggest to you a few thoughts. You see, a bloody deed had just been committed in the land. John Baptist, the honored forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ, had been brutally slain. I was going to speak a word about Herod in this chapter, who was vile, sensuous, evil. You also read of an Herodias, who was a fiend. She was immoral. She was disgraceful. She was a murderess. You also read in the same chapter of her daughter. Her name was Salome. And she was brought to dance, a dance of the seven veils, before King Herod, who was a sensuous man. And as Herodias' daughter Salome would remove a veil every time she finished a section of the dance, the passions were so aroused in Herod, as the seventh veil is removed, and his passions have risen to white heat, he says, tell me, what do you want? I'll give it to you to the half of my kingdom. And that sensuous young woman, she says, I'll ask my mommy, what do I want? He says, to the half of his kingdom. Is that all? I want a man who has been moving the world. A man who has said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm not interested in the half of the kingdom. But I am interested in a man that is trying to move the world through his preaching. I want his head. And I want him in charger. And I see young Salome going in, and she's pleading for the head of John Baptist, the honored forerunner of our blessed and wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that the blood would drip over the side of the platter as it's presented unto Salome and then to her mother. And our Lord Jesus knew that because his disciples had so told him. It happened exactly 1 year before our blessed Lord Jesus Christ would go to Calvary. And so he said unto the disciples, let us depart and go to a desert place. And that's where he went. But you know, even in that desert place, the master was not allowed to be alone. He was not suffered to be quiet. But even here, in a desert place, the multitudes gathered to hear the marvelous words that proceed from the lips of God's well-beloved Son. He didn't resent it. Even those that perhaps might have accented to the death of John Baptist, they were there as well, and our Lord had compassion upon them. And because they had been there such a long time, as he had compassion upon them, he said unto the disciples that what would send them away. Do you know that there are people today that would send the people away that want to hear the gospel of the grace of God? Send them away. The Lord said, give ye them to eat. There I suggest to you, you have the sympathy of the Master. Give ye them to eat. They were hungry. They needed food. And the Master, looking upon them, he told his disciples, not to the world, but to his disciples, to give ye them to eat. On Lord's Day morning, when I spoke to the Bible class, I remember saying that our Lord certainly is coming. And the angel said, "Why stand you gazing up into heaven?" The master had already told them that they're to remain in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And he told them that they were to be witnesses or martyrs in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. They were to go to the othermost parts of the earth. And our dear brother was praying tonight and thanking God for people that have been converted today. That has happened. Do you know that in China, that land that has been closed and is still closed to the gospel, today, this day, Tuesday, 37,000 people have made their way to the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Now you may say amen to that. But I say, what are these among so many? With almost 2 billion of precious souls. No place where they can hear the gospel. How are they getting saved? They're getting saved through individual testimony. We used to sing when I was a boy in Sunday school, "You in your small corner, and I in mine. Give ye them to eat." Do you know by the year 2000, if the Lord doesn't come, I believe he's coming soon, Israel is celebrating at the present time their 40th year of being a nation. 40 is the number of testing. Do you remember it was Moses that was 40 years in the palace of the Pharaoh, and he might have been the Pharaoh himself. 40 years of time of testing. He saw one of his brethren murdered, and he slew an Egyptian. And he had to flee from another 40 years. He thought that perhaps with all the learning of the Egyptians, he might be able to deliver the people from the land of bondage. 40 years in the desert, God spoke to him. He learned a lot of things in the desert. 40 years, another time of testing. And then he went forth, but he says, "I can't speak." Well, he said, "There's going to be another man speak for you, but you're going to put the words into his mouth." And that was Aaron. And he went, you remember the plagues? And do you know that at 80 years of age, Moses is able, through the power of God, to deliver the nation of Israel. And he led them through the wilderness for another 40 years. Time of testing. Our Lord was in the wilderness, and he suffered hunger for 40 days, tempted the devil. The nation of Israel is 40 years old just a few weeks ago. Time of testing. I believe that perhaps before we reach 2000, our Lord may have come. I believe that it's possible that the man of sin is alive today in the world. And the world will accept him. But look. Give ye them to eat. Now that was a message that was given unto the disciples. Millions dying without Christ today. And there are millions that are starving. I understand that in the world, there's over 100 million refugees starving to death. Do you know that in Cambodia, before the communists took over, there were very, very few Christians. But now in the refugee camps, there are 10 times more Christians than there ever was in all of Cambodia before the persecution. Do you know that in Korea, the church has increased in number twice over the past 5 years? Mexico City, is increasing at the rate that there will be very, very soon 13 million people in that city. I was with a dear brother just recently, a few weeks ago. He lives in Mexico City, and he has committed to see an assembly of God raised up in every neighborhood in Mexico with 30 million precious souls. God is blessing. We were forced to leave Cuba. Do you know that the assemblies have grown, assemblies that we have seen planted? Because I do believe that there is something more beside ministering the Word of God. I mean, preaching the gospel, we do that. And I love to preach the gospel. I love to see people converted. I love to see them obeying the Word of God, being baptized, but I also teach them that there is a place where the Lord had been pleased to place His name, and the assemblies have grown. Even up there in those mountains that I told you about, there's 4 or 5 assemblies now. The buildings were taken over and converted into brothels. They've been given back because the people were afraid to go into them because the gospel was preached in them, and they've been given back to the people, and the assemblies are growing. And there is no evangelist nor missionary there, but the brethren in the assemblies are going ahead and to minister the Word of God. Give ye them to eat. That's the sympathy of the Master. And then he also asked the question, how many loaves have ye? What do I see there? I see the tremendous supply of the masses. Give ye them to eat. I was down in Argentina, and I met a dear brother by the name of Oscar Lacetti. That dear young man, he went down to the southern part of Argentina to preach the gospel. God bless him. A radio station asked him if he wouldn't think of having some radio broadcast at no cost whatsoever to himself. He would have to travel to this particular town, 25 miles on his bicycle. A television station that was beaming its message down into the Antarctic Circle asked him if he wouldn't take on a television program, and he did. Coming home one night, he had a puncture on his bicycle he couldn't afford, an automobile. And he walked 20 miles pushing that bicycle. He didn't have the price of a patch, 15 cents, to ride home. That young man recently, he died. And we believe that it was because of malnutrition, a servant of the Lord. Now, I don't know how many missionaries you know. I'm talking about foreign missionaries. Maybe you know some from Bolivia, do you? How many names can you give me? One? There are 50 missionaries from God's assemblies in Bolivia. I haven't time to tell you about them. But I could tell you thrilling stories about them. Especially one dear young woman that I met who was converted in Israel, a Jewess. Her name was Levi, and you could trace her ancestry right back to Levi, the tribe of Levi. And dear Flora Levi heard the gospel of the grace of God, and she was baptized in the River Jordan. And she speaks Hebrew, Arabic, French, and English fluently. And she went to England to study midwifery. The BBC of, is that the, of London? BBC of London? They asked her if she wouldn't take on a job of being a commentator over the BBC. In 4 different languages, she said, I'm sorry, but I've already accepted a post. We thought so. You're going as an ambassador. She says, I am. She says, where are you going? Well, I'm going to Bolivia. Oh.
As an ambassador?
Yes, she says, I'm going to be ambassador for the king. Oh, but we have no king. It's a queen we've got. Ah, she said, but I'm going to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That dear soul, 5'5", she met another man, and he is 6'3". Big guy. But you know, they're doing a tremendous work for God down there in the jungles of Bolivia. Look. How many loaves have you? 5. Human weakness. 5 fingers in each hand. 5 senses. God wants to use what we've got. What else? Bring them hither to me. That's the surrender of their means. And so when they brought of their means to the Lord the 5 loaves and the fishes, it says they were all filled. He made them sit down in companies by 50s and by 100. Now, I don't know if that is suggestive of the size of a New Testament assembly or not. Sometimes I think when an assembly gets over 100, it's too big. Ah, but the Lord said, make them sit down in companies by 50s and by 100s. And you know, the small assemblies, sometimes I feel there's more of a family atmosphere associated with it. But the Lord made them sit down, and he fed them all. And they gathered up of the fragrance, 12 baskets full. I suggest unto you, that is the provision which God has for the nation of Israel in the coming day. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, come into thy presence, give thee thanks for thy love, kindness, and mercy, and look to thee for thy blessing upon thy word. Blessed we separate the one from the other, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, if I've gone over some minutes, please forgive me.